Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Into every heart, we thank you, Lord, that you know each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you meet with each one of us right here in this place. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are our teacher and that you direct us and you guide us and you lead us in your truth this morning for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for your prayers and thanks. Yo, let's keep praying. Amen. Keep praying for these families. What a blessing. This morning, I want us just to take a moment. I was trying to be brief, but I want to ask you something. You know, we know a bunch of those Old Testament stories so well. You know, if you think about where Moses and Aaron led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Okay, most of us will know that account of how the nation was enslaved in Egypt and then how the Lord brought them out. But have you ever thought about it? You know the 10 plagues, okay? Have you ever thought about what would have happened if Moses and Aaron gave up after going to Pharaoh maybe twice? Let's give them a bit of grace. Maybe they were really persistent. Maybe they could hang on for six times, going back. Six times, or seven, or eight. Maybe even if they went for nine times, nobody would have blamed them and said, "Yes, you guys gave it your best shot. Well done. Nine times going back to Pharaoh, you know, humbling yourselves, going back again, really, you know, trying again nine times, hanging in there." But I'm just wondering what would have happened if they just said, "No, you know what, guys, this isn't working. Let's leave this." They didn't. They persisted, right? They persisted. They pressed through. Obviously, I believe if they had given up, the Lord would have raised up some other way, another way for the nation of Israel. But they persisted. They went back 10 times again. Even after stuff going wrong, even after, you know, if you think about it, if you remember the first few times they went and they did the signs, right? They did the signs and the plagues. The first couple of times, the magicians and the, you know, the guys that were working for Pharaoh, they duplicated the signs with their magic the first couple of times. And that must have been really discouraging as well, because now the Lord has given them these supernatural signs, and now these magicians are doing the same stuff, right? That must have been hectic. And they persisted. And it was only after the first couple of times that the guys that were on Pharaoh's side, the magicians, couldn't keep up. And they persisted. They pressed through and they endured and they stayed the course. And the Lord did a great miracle by bringing the whole nation out of Egypt. Now, I want to ask the same thing about Noah. Apparently, Noah, some scholars say he built at least 45 years. Some reckon it could have been as long as 120 years that he spent building that thing. That's hectic, guys. Eh? Some say, most people agreed, was around 75 years. So even that, imagine him saying, "No, guys, I've been building this thing so long. There's no rain coming. You know, what's this? How is this going to work?" And then if he gave up after 70 years, nobody would have blamed him. I mean, you've just 70 years, that's a long time to put into something, right? But he didn't. He pushed through, amen? And he persisted in obedience to what God had called him to do. Then maybe a more modern example, if you've heard of William Wilberforce, the English politician who, for basically his whole life, he dedicated his life to the abolishment of slavery, trying to abolish the slave trade and slavery itself. And for more than 20 years consistently, he, you know, in Parliament, he continued this fight and continued this walk, pressing in, continuing, and disappointment after disappointment, failure after failure, pushing through. So powerful that he had this conviction, just as Moses and Aaron did, just as Noah did. He had a conviction that came from the Lord about what he had to do, what he had to press on with. Yeah, we read in Daniel chapter 9 how Daniel fasted and prayed, seeking God's face. And then there was an angel that came and appeared to him and said to him, there was resistance in the spirit for 21 days. As he was praying and fasting, there was a spiritual opposition that resisted the angel that the Lord sent. Isn't that a powerful picture? So the Lord, immediately as Daniel started praying, the Lord sent the answer. But there was a resistance in the spirit. It meant that he had to fight. There was a war. There was a battle in the spirit for about 3 weeks before they could actually reach Daniel. So this morning we're going to look a bit at what does it mean in the spirit if we persist, if we stay the course, if we press through. Just a more practical example. Thomas Edison. Who remembers him? The guy that invented the light bulb, right? He had a real light bulb moment, you know? But apparently, my children roll their eyes these days with the dad jokes, especially the old one. Anyway, it took him about 2,774 attempts. Okay? Before he could find a way to make that thing work. I don't know, guys. That's impressive. I don't know how many of us would have pushed through that. There's a famous quote that he said once. He said, I've not failed 10,000 times. I've successfully found 10,000 ways that will not work. Okay. And I think one of the challenges that we have in our modern society is that often we're driven by immediate satisfaction rather than long-term rewards or long-term fruit. You know, the scrolling generation, if something is boring, you know, just carry right on. You go to the next one, all right? But we see all over Scripture, and as I was preparing, I was so encouraged because we see this all over Scripture, how God calls us to persist, how God calls us to press through, how he calls us to stay the course, how Paul writes, he says, to finish the race, to press forward. This morning I want us to look at a couple of those scriptures and just be encouraged by how God empowers us to stay the course in what he has called us to do. Amen. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. From verse 7. Just find it here, sorry. It says, yeah. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I love the image that he uses here of a harvest and of sowing seed. As our kids were younger, we sowed those they had these Checkers seeds at one point. These Checkers and Pick and Pay guys, hey, they have plans every month, hey, making you spend more money there. Anyways, so at one point they had these seeds and they had these gardens, right? And the kids planted some of that stuff. And I remember them saying, but where is it the next day? They wanted to know, where's the stuff? Where's the vegetable? Didn't we? We did put it in the ground and we did water it. So where is it? And they was like, okay, guys, this is going to take some time. And then I remember recently we have a mulberry tree that we planted a year or two ago. And recently it had its first fruit. And we were so excited because it took time, right? But now there is something there. It's not a lot, but it's there. The avo tree, I don't know if they might have given hope up on the avo tree because it's apparently takes 4 to 5 years before the avos start bearing it. So they like, is this really an avo tree? Because there's nothing there, you know. It's been years. There's no result. But isn't that something that we need to grasp in the spirit, that there is a process that God is busy with, and there's a perseverance that is needed as we continue to sow the right thing, that we are able to have an expectation of good fruit that will come if we do not give up. Amen. And this is not a once-off. This, we need the small, consistent steps of obedience are needed for us to actually see the fruit of our obedience, to see the fruit of what God is doing in our lives. And how often do we look for a quick thing? We want a quick result. We want a quick quick return on our investment. But God says, keep on sowing good seed. And this is so true in any relationship. I encourage you, if you're married here this morning, or even in friendship relationships, there's power in us consistently sowing good seed in our marriages, in our relationships, into our children. You know, when Abby was about two, she's our eldest, so shame, you know, try everything the first time on the eldest, you know. I remember she came to a point, she was vocally really good from a young age, so she spoke really well. And I thought, this is amazing. She understands what I'm saying. You know when the babies are just goo goo gaga and it's very cute, but there's no response going on and there's no obedience, right? And then you get to a point where you see, wow, they understand more than you think, right? Even if they can't verbalize it. And then they come to a point where you can actually have a simple conversation with them and your mind, your life has changed, because now this little wonder, this little miracle is actually communicating with you. Isn't that amazing? And I remember realizing, wow, she actually understands so much. She was maybe 2, 3. I thought, this is the time. I'm going to have a conversation with her around manners, you know, about saying please and thank you and some, just obviously age appropriate, just very basic. And we had a conversation. I explained to her how it works, how please and thank you work. I thought, praise the Lord. I can tick this one off, hey? I've had this conversation with my daughter, and for now, she seems to grasp it. Praise Jesus. All the parents are laughing because it's not that simple, right? So, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. Maybe parenting isn't so hard after all. And I thought we had that chat. And I realized that I had to repeat that instruction consistently. I don't know for how many years, but now I can see the fruit. I mean, well done. So often we are like that spiritually. We think, okay, I've ticked that box, I've prayed that prayer, I've done that thing, now I can move on. I want to encourage us in our relationships, in our parenting, in the way we invest into lives around us, be in it for the long haul. Commit, say, Lord, I'm going to continue doing the good thing. I'm going to continue doing the right thing because I have a conviction this is what God has called me to do. Not because I want a short-term reward or a short-term fruit, because I know this is what God has called me to do. In our work, similarly, the short-term gain or the short-term fruit doesn't always come as quick as we want it to come. But that consistent effort, that staying faithful, when nobody's looking, faithfully sowing good seed, faithfully doing what is required, faithfully being on time, that is the stuff that God rewards. And that's the good, we know if we do not give up, we will reap a harvest. Are you with me? Amen. Then quickly, let's go on to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. So he's saying, persist in gathering as the saints. Persist in your making time to fellowship with fellow believers. It's such a simple thing. And I've heard this, you know, people say, no, I've tried this church thing. It's not for me. And if you dig a bit deeper, then maybe they went to the congregation once, and then the pastor wore an ugly tie and then didn't go back. Okay, no, I don't, guys, you don't do that. But or maybe they visit a small group once and say, yeah, this small group thing, that small group is so boring, et cetera, et cetera. I want to say, guys, have you really invested here? Have you really put something in? Why, you know, and this is what he's encouraging us. The writer of Hebrews says, do not neglect the meeting together, the gathering of the saints. He's saying that's there's something powerful that happens when the saints gather. There's something powerful that happens when the saints gather, continuously, persistently hanging in there with each other, right? In a way, our spiritual family is similar to our physical family because you don't always get to choose who you're in church with, hey? Okay, it's like your brothers and sisters. You don't choose them, you know? I saw this clip the other day of a dad telling his son, listen, you better speak nicely with your mom because I chose her. I didn't choose you. I had to stick. I had to. I had to deal with you. You know. you know, we don't get to choose our physical family, and often we don't get to choose who's in church with us, who's in small group with us. So maybe that means that we have to be more intentional. So you know what? I'm going to make this work. I'm going to spend time. I'm going to invest in these relationships because they are meaningful, and because there's a promise of a reward, this promise of good fruit if you persevere. And I believe this is such a challenge because often I see a couple coming into church and there's some struggle, maybe some, obviously the honeymoon phase is amazing and they settle in and they, you know, there's some relationships forming and it's amazing and people start connecting. But as soon as there's a bit of iron sharpening iron, there's a bit of a challenge of, you know, growing means we need to change. We need to challenge each other. And then as soon as there's a challenge for growth, maybe there's a challenge in terms of the way we are doing things or the way they're doing things. There's a bit of a rubbing of shoulders or, you know, iron sharpening iron happening. Then people get uncomfortable and say, I don't want to change. And then they just disappear, go on to the next congregation. And I want to encourage us that when the writer says, yeah, do not neglect the gathering together, the meeting together, fellowship of the saints, it means sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes it's going to challenge us to grow. Amen? So I want to encourage you, hang in there. Don't just get discouraged after the first meeting. Don't give up on small group if you've been there only once or twice. If you've been there 2 years and it doesn't work, then you guess you can come to me and complain. Amen? All right. Be persistent in gathering with the saints. That's not only the only time we gather. Obviously, there are many other ways you can gather with the saints, but those are just examples. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 18. I'm not going to read the whole story, but Jesus tells the story of the persistent widow. There was an unjust, an unrighteous judge, and he didn't care. He didn't have the fear of God in him. But this widow kept on going back. And she kept on asking that he would give her justice. And in the end, he, not because he was righteous or because he was a just judge, but just to get rid of her, he gave her justice, all right? And Jesus tells this story to the disciples to encourage them not to give up in prayer, but to persist in prayer. He says here, Luke 18, says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. How often do we lose heart in our prayers? How often do we pray for something? We have a conviction, you know. You get a conviction that if anybody is able, God is able. So then we start praying for something. But how often do we lose heart in our prayer? Maybe we get discouraged. Maybe we don't see fruit. Maybe it's been a year or two. Maybe it's been a couple of weeks. But we lose heart. And when we our prayers, maybe they start losing their fervency. When Paul writes, an effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Maybe we start praying less effectively. I want to encourage us this morning, do not lose heart in your prayer. Some of you have been praying for loved ones to be saved, to come to the salvation. Do not lose heart. Some of you have been, you know, wrestling with God about something for a while. Maybe you haven't seen the fruit. Do not lose heart. Sometimes there's spiritual opposition like Daniel experienced. There's a physical assignment against what you're praying for, right? Do not lose heart. I want to encourage us. There is that verse that says we ask amiss. So yes, if you've been wrestling with God about something for a while and you haven't seen any fruit, then ask God, Lord, am I going about this the wrong way? What do you want me to pray about? That's a good prayer, guys. How would you like me to pray about this thing? Sometimes we pray and we ask amiss because we're missing the point. We're missing God's heart in our prayer. And we get frustrated. Hang in there. Persist in prayer. Don't lose heart. And what this also speaks of is our consistent pursuing of the presence of God. Consistent pursuit of who He is. Time with Him. Time with in His Word. Time in His presence. We had a guest stay at our guest house the other day. If you ever need a guest house, okay, guys, contact me. Hello? Hallelujah. Is this allowed to do this? Anyway, but we had a guest at our guest house the other day the Gambia, interesting country. And he said he wanted to play tennis. And then I said, great, he can play against Abby. You know, she's really good. He can play against her. And then I asked him, but have you played before? He said, no, he's never played tennis in his life. I said, have you watched it on TV? He said, no, he hasn't watched it on TV. I said, I can knock a few balls, you know, with you. And he said, no, he wants to play against Abigail. I said, but I was really struggling because he was so confident. He was like, no, I'll get it. He just wanted to pick up the racket and go. And I don't know if you've tried it, but we've lost many balls because guests think they can play tennis. Anyways, and I could see his disillusionment set in after a couple of minutes because he looked at me and he was puzzled and because the balls were just going all over the place. And he said, it's not as easy as you thought it was. And I said, yes, that was what I was trying to say before, you know. But sometimes we approach spiritual growth like that. We try it a few times and then we're like, why am I not growing? Why isn't there fruit? Why am I not getting this right? And I want to encourage us, don't lose heart in our pursuit of godliness. Don't lose heart in our pursuit of God. Yes, it's going to take a process. I mean, that's why it's called fruit. Fruit takes time. Pray, continue to pray. Persist in your pursuit of God. Persist in your prayer for your children and your loved ones, your colleagues. Persist praying. We've been praying for everyone everywhere. It's our campaign of inviting people to church and praying for those in our sphere of influence who don't know Christ. Persist in those prayers. I was listening to a preacher the other day. He said he was ministering in Cambridge, and they were doing a week-long thing at ministry, and there was a coffee shop nearby, cut the story short, and there was a lady at the coffee shop, and he was there every day buying coffee, and he would invite her, say, "Don't you want to come to the meeting tonight?" And then she would say, no, thanks, I'm not interested. And then he would just be persistent. He said, "But come anyway." And then she'd, "No, I don't really have time." And then he said, "But come anyway." And then she said, "I don't really believe in this stuff." And then he just said, "No, but come anyway." And then she continued to have, some reason why she couldn't come. And he just continued to say, "But come anyway." And it went on for the week, And then by the end of the week, she found herself telling her mother that evening, "I'm going to a Christian meeting. I don't really know why, but I'm going to this meeting." And she ended up there. She had an encounter with God. She was born again. And they ended up getting married. That's another story. But I was so encouraged because you know how tentative we often are in our invitation. You say, don't you want to come to a small group? And then people have a valid reason, and then you leave them there. And you want to come to church or a life encounter. And they have something that Saturday or that Sunday. And they say, "Okay, great." And then we don't persist. But I was so convicted because you know what? If I tell a friend or a loved one, if I see that they really need something, and I can say, "Listen, a Buddha rod or something, I got the solution. And this really works for me. Don't you want to try it?" Obviously, this is not the same exactly. But somehow, we're very bold in sharing those things. "I saw this special. You should go and get it." Or, I saw this hack, and you should really try it. We're so bold sharing that stuff. But, why don't we have that same boldness when it comes to the thing that changed our lives for eternity? Being bold in our invitation to say, "You know what? I'm going to keep inviting you because I know this will change your life." Maybe you won't say it like that, but in your heart, "I will not stop inviting this person. I will not stop praying for this person. I will not stop encouraging this person because I really care for them. And I really want them to know the salvation that I have received in Christ. Are you with me? Because I love them. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will stir our hearts with compassion to a point we will be persistent in our invitation and we will be persistent in our reaching out because of the compassion and the love that God has poured into our hearts. Amen. James 1 verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. He blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation because they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Yes, we go through trials, and I realize that as we're sitting here and talking about gathering of the saints and praying for unbelievers and persisting in things, some of us, we can't help but think, that might be true for most people, but the situation I'm in makes it really hard for me to be at church every Sunday or to be at small group every Wednesday or to persist in prayer because the unique situation, the tough things I'm going through, and I'm not being disrespectful. I have a lot of respect for tough things people are going through. But somehow we convince ourselves that the tough things I'm going through means that I'm not able to persist as I actually am convicted I should. Are you with me? So I want to encourage us, when you look at the lives of these people that I've mentioned before, each of these guys, and these are just a handful of examples we can carry on, went through hectic personal trials and heavy things in their journey of persistently pursuing the will of God. They did not have an easy road. This is Wilberforce guy, William Wilberforce. He had chronic illness. He was facing violent threats, death threats throughout his career. So many hectic things he went through. I want to just say, when we read those guys, their pedigrees, and we see, wow, they did amazing things, it did not come without a cost. There were tough things that they had to go through. So I want to encourage you, yes, we go through trials. Yes, we go through tough things. Yes, life throws things at us. But I want to encourage you, even in the midst of that, we persist. Not because we are full of faith always, not because we are superheroes in the faith, but because the one we are trusting in is faithful. Amen. Because the one who has given the promise is able to perform his word. That is why we are able to persist. Not because I psych myself up in the morning and I tell myself something in the mirror, although apparently it's not a bad thing, but because I'm the one I'm putting my faith in, he is faithful to finish the good work that he has started. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we have asked or thought or imagined. He is the one we put our trust in. I mean, that is why we're able to persist. That is why we're able to press through the trials. That is why we're able to continue to pray, because the one we're putting our faith in is able and faithful. Are you with me? He endured the cross. Let me just read this last bit in Matthew 6:33. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Persist in seeking his kingdom first. Persist in not putting your faith in worldly things. Persist because not because you've figured it all out, but because he is faithful. Because he is able. Because he is the one that provides whatever we need. Because we can set aside our anxiety and our fears. Not because we've, you know, found the, you know, we've figured it out all in our minds, but because we've found the one and we're following the one that has life and that has given us life. Amen. He has endured the cross. Scripture says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, pressing through so that you and I can be empowered to persist, that you and I can be empowered to press through, so that we can be persistently faithful and obedient to what he has called us to do. I believe there are Noahs and Moses and Aarons and life changes and city changes and nation changes sitting here among us this morning. People that will put communities, turn them upside down, turn our city upside down for the kingdom and for the glory of God, if we are willing to persist in what he has called us to do. Amen. If we're willing to take the small steps of obedience every day. So you know what? I will continue because he is good and he is faithful. Let's stand this morning. I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit to convict us this morning. You know, sometimes we have a great time in the Lord's presence and we experience a conviction. We experience a, you know, Lord giving us direction. But life happens and we find ourselves weeks or months down the line and we haven't actioned it. We haven't gone over into action. We thought about it. We prayed about it, but I'm really trusting Holy Spirit to encourage us and to remind us of those seeds that have been planted in our hearts, that he is saying he hasn't given up on you, but you and I need to decide in our hearts, you know what, I will not give up. I've been offended in church, or maybe I've been hurt in a church environment even, or maybe at work something went wrong and you know, things didn't work out as I thought. But I really believe that there's a grace this morning for us to open our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to inspire us to say, you know what, Lord, I will, as Paul writes, I will press forward. I will continue. I want to finish the race. I want to continue faithfully. I want to see His kingdom come in my family, in my sphere of influence. I want to see those that I'm praying for come to salvation. I want to see my children raise up as men and women of God that will change the community that they're in, will see the kingdom come in and through their lives. I'm willing to press through the spiritual opposition. I'm willing to receive grace from the Lord daily to persist in what He has set before me. Let's close our eyes this morning. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your presence here. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You persisted and You endured and You stayed the course when it mattered most. Thank You, Lord, that You gave Your Son in our place, Lord. And because Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, because He pressed through and He won that victory so that we can have life and life in abundance, so that we can have relationship with the Father. Thank You, Lord, that You know every heart here in this place. And thank You that You know where each one of us are at. I thank You, Lord, that You reach out to each one right now. Thank You for Your conviction by Your Spirit. Well, Lord, we are convicted again, Lord, that we are as close to You, Lord, as we choose to be. And I pray, Holy Spirit, this morning for a stirring in our hearts of a hunger and a thirst for more of You, Lord. A hunger and a thirst. Say, Lord, I will persist. Even if I don't see the fruit immediately, even if I don't have an instant gratification, I will persist because I know You are faithful. Because I know You are able to perform Your word, and there will be good fruit for Your glory. Thank You, Lord. As every eye is closed, if You...
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.